to wrap up this morning, in the immortal words of Jeff McMillan, we'll be done before lunch. How late do you have your lunch? Now, I wanted to just briefly touch on the Chapel Hill values, and that might be being put up. And just that title slide will be fine to start off with. Thanks, Alex. I want to start with a question, and you know I quite like audience participation. If everyone's jumping off a cliff, would you do it too? How high is the cliff? It's deadly. You won't survive the impact. Let's not complicate this. If everyone's running off a cliff to their certain doom, and you don't have to, if everyone's doing it, would you do it too? No? Have you grasped the question? If everyone is doing it, would you do it too? Why are they doing it? You've heard this question before, right? Normally related to a conversation a parent's going to have with a child. Maybe the girl's coming in dressed in a way you think, now that's not leaving this house. And you have the conversation, you are not to dress like that. But mum, dad, this is what everyone's wearing. And the immortal lines, if everyone's jumping off a cliff, would you do it too? The reality is, we find it really, really, really hard to resist the flow of what everyone else seems to be doing. To live and act differently takes an enormous amount of courage. It takes a little bit of sober reflection. It takes certainly a degree of commitment. And of course, it takes a bit of clarity on, well, what are the alternatives? It would seem perhaps if everyone's doing it, there are no alternatives. So I wanted to talk about the Chapel Hill values in this context. The values are about what we believe God is talking to us as a community, how we are to live and behave as a community. Now, I had a really interesting experience last year when we went 5 weeks through each value, 1 week per value. And at the end of that five-week series, I had two people lining up, and this doesn't very often happen, people lining up to talk to me after a talk. Two people lining up to talk to me. The first one said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what you're asking of us. Where's the vision? Where's the central focus? What are we trying to do? And the second person said, I love what you're trying to do here. I get it. I think it's great. So I'm aware that in talking about this kind of stuff, particularly in a world where if you've come from a corporate background, or even in fact from a background where the church delivers visions, missions to galvanize everyone in behind, that you might be somewhat confused about this talk about values that don't seem to hold a central focusing idea. Like, we are going to be a church all about young families. We're going to devote our energies to making sure children know about the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ and how to become a follower. That could be a vision. Unfortunate if you're a single, or if you don't have those children, or your children have all grown up and passed that point, or whatever it is. Unfortunate for you if you don't have that as part of your life. So I recognize that some people talking about values, it's going to be a foreign language. Or at least it's going to be a language that you're not familiar with enough to be able to find those easy handholds. Like, you know, we use the word gospel because a lot of people have a lot of background information to that word, and it becomes an all-encompassing summary of all of that great thinking. But if you've never heard the word gospel before, it's completely foreign, and you've got no handles to kind of grasp, what on earth are you talking about? So I know that might be true for you when it comes to values. So I ask that question because we do know in our daily practical lives what it means to try and instill in someone not just a your life is about this one single purpose, but rather this is the context in which your life might be lived, that it become a good life, a healthy life. Honey, you're not leaving the room or this house dressed like that. It is not how the good life is built. This will not lead to good outcomes. Honey, you will not jump off the cliff, even if you think everyone else is doing it. So I'd like to provide that as a context as I briefly look at the values. And before I get there, in fact, I want to ask if anyone can remember what the values are. We have five of them. Can anyone remember the five values? Can anyone remember a value? The word intentional? Yeah, it does have a second word attached to it. It's the only one that does. Intentional something? Community. Intentional community. Any other values? That's one. We've got four. Simplicity is another one. Huh? Expectancy. The kind of thing I'm feeling right now. Experience. Momentum. Fantastic. Do you want to pop that slide up? Those are our five values. Now, intentional community sits in the middle because it is, in a sense, the hub to all of the values. It's the heart of them. It's the, what do these other values mean? Well, they need context. They're all context to each other. They all interlink. But intentional community is what we are talking about. Now, that seems easy. It seems like what a church already is, an intentional community. We're all here by intention. We're not here by mistake, I would hope. So already there's a degree of intent. Unfortunately, being the intentional community I think God calls a church to be has a great deal more depth to it. It requires a bit of investment and cost, and it requires a bit of challenge. Perhaps now is not the best time, but it seems to serve my purposes, so I'll use it. Lee and Lynn Robertson have decided to leave Chapel Hill. The reasons they have given are largely to do with intention. They want to find a church where they can find young, burgeoning Christians they can invest in and help grow. And they look around Chapel Hill and think, here are mature Christians. We are not needed here. We want to go and find another church. So I can recognize that, and that's fine. And what we're trying to do doesn't fit with what they're trying to do. And that's okay. But I want to go through these surrounding four values and then talk about intentional community and see if you understand the basics. Simplicity. That means we don't want to complicate things. It means our services are reasonably simple, relatively simple. We have some worship, we have communion, we have a talk, we have some fellowship, and we go home. We encourage some simple practices as far as spirituality, life groups, for instance, because we know that those things are good for you. We try not to make Christianity and spirituality complicated as if it takes a degree or a doctorate to understand it in order to be a faithful Christian. We try and keep it simple. Expectancy. I think that has two kind of ideas. One is we know that there is a real and live God and that our lives can have a degree of expectancy of seeing that God at work. And a couple of years ago, we did God stories, encouraging us to observe where God might be acting in our lives and sharing those stories. It was also obviously an idea of simplicity. If we shared the stories of what God was doing in our lives, we'd encourage the sense of expectancy to see God in your life and to see God at work in all sorts of different areas. And so help us grow as Christians as we become aware of God's activity in our lives. And we hope that that would also create momentum as we talked about God, as we shared these wonderful stories of what God was doing in our lives, that would catch fire a little bit and it would snowball a little bit. And other people would say, oh, I hadn't really realized that that was the way that God was working in my life too. But when you shared that story with me, I could see that that was something similar God was doing for me. So thank you. And that would snowball. And we were encouraged. I mean, COVID-19 knocked a bunch of things down, but we were encouraged by the fact that people talked about, oh, I've got a God story for you, without being much prompting by the end of that year, 2019. So we had gained a bit of momentum in helping us as a community talk about God's activity in our lives and want to share that with others to encourage them. Experience seems fairly obvious, doesn't it? We don't want to just be talkers about God or even just proclaimers about God. I don't know if you look at any of my YouTube clips, but the last couple of weeks I've been talking about how the good news of Jesus Christ is not just something we broadcast like a radio station. It has to be something that we experience and would show others what it looks like. How do I know it's good news if you don't even act like it's good news? How do I know that this good news of Jesus Christ, it might transform my life so I'm no longer stuck in these places that I find myself stuck in? If you're not even experiencing it, you've been living this for 20 years and you seem as stuck as me. We want to be a church where we're experiencing the life transformation of God's Spirit among us. And that we would be an experience for others in that same way, that if people touch this community somehow, they would experience God's love, not just hear about it. They need to hear about it, they also need to experience it as much as we do too. And so that for us, those four values help describe to us what we're meaning when we say intentional community. It takes effort, it takes work. I want to finish with a bit of a reflection around what that effort might look like. A few years ago when we've been on this talk and journey of intentional community for quite some time, and three of us, Joe Martin, Alex Shepherd and myself, went down to Christchurch for a community, intentional community conference. Well, they called it a hui, but it's basically the same. And what they'd been doing down in Christchurch at this particular church was they were encouraging people who felt called into particularly intentional communities that they might even move houses to be near one another into specific areas of the neighborhood to say, we want to live closer together because proximity makes a real difference when we're trying to build relationship. If you are a long way away from people, it's very hard to build relationships. Long distance relationships are tough, if not impossible. You have to have proximity. So they moved into the neighborhood together, which immediately strikes us a bit odd because we buy houses where we want to live, not where we feel we might be called to live. We are the gods of our own house buying, right? We don't ask God, where should I be? We tell him, say, find me a place in that neighborhood. Anyway, they were moving into these neighborhoods, and they were intending to build a community within themselves to be of use to the community beyond themselves. So they would start to pray about the community that they were in, the neighborhood they were in, the couple of streets that connected with them, and say, Lord, how would you like to show your love here? So they had a real dedication to a people and a place that they could define on a map with a pencil really easily. It was quite remarkable as I talked to one of the leaders, Dwayne, about how they thought, and it was so unusual what I thought, you know, that idea, well, if everyone's jumping off a cliff, would we do it? And I think sometimes the Western Church is absolutely guilty of that. We are meant to be a community of godly people, and in fact, we end up just being godly people scattered around the universe of the kingdom of God, not really dedicated to a proximity and a place and a people. So they were thinking unusually. And he gave a talk in his conference. He said, he's a mad rugby fan. He used to be a professional rugby player. And he said, for me, watching the All Blacks, a test, that's like a highlight of my week and my year, watching these All Blacks play. I love it. And I've got a bunch of rugby mates that I have connections with, you know, 'cause he helps coach rugby for kids and all that sort of stuff. So I have all of those mates. And because they love rugby as much as I do, it's a real thrill to watch rugby with those guys. Because, you know, we talk about a whole lot of stuff about the tactics of what they're doing, and we, you know, spitball about who's the best player, and we do all sorts of things. So, but I realized that every time there was something happening, now I'm committed to this group of people here, this community in this neighborhood, of which it's not filled with my rugby mates. Now, if I left, every time there was something I really liked doing, I said, oh, sorry guys, I'm going to go have my fun with these people over here. I'll be back later. So the unintentional message is, I'm committed to you unless I've got something better I'd like to do over here. Like, I'm committed to you because we've got some good things going, but when it's time for the All Blacks, well, you know I'm not that committed to you. So he said he had to make the really difficult decision initially to watch tests with his community, neighborhood community. It might not seem very relevant to you. It's the thing that sticks in my mind, though, because I can think of probably occasions where I might have done that too. Where I might have thought, well, yeah, I've got a life group on, but what if something better comes up? Or something makes that difficult to go to? Or if there's something happening as a community event at the church and it clashes with a good movie on a TV. No, I mean, it's a really lame excuse, but the ease with which we as a community, and when I say we as a community, I'm actually thinking much broader than Chapel Hill by far. This is endemic within the Western civilization. We have so many things we can do. We try and do them all. And Dwayne said, if I try and do everything and spread myself too thin, I will never go deep and I will never be deep. So that's why he invested himself in a community at cost. But he weighed up the cost. He knew that being part of that community was going to be great for his soul. It was going to be great for the souls that he was committed to, and it was going to be great for the souls outside of that community that they were trying to reach. So this week, essentially Lent starts this week. It's the journey of sacrifice and of self-reflection and the slow journey toward Easter. It's an idea, very ancient idea, of helping us engage in the walk that Jesus took to the cross, which, you know, it's only 40 days for us. You get to take Sundays off and eat whatever you like, because often it was fasting, but you don't have to fast. But the idea was Jesus was going to give himself fully, completely to this idea of a kingdom of God and a family of God. And he was going to suffer and die for that. But in Jesus' mind, it was an investment in something amazing. And so he was willing to do it. And so I'd like to challenge us, even as Alex has mentioned, and I had no idea what he was going to say for communion, challenge us to think about our investment in community, what it means for us to be disciples of Christ that has a real connection to a real people and a real place that might look like an investment in something bigger than us that might just help us become bigger than we are right now on our own. So there's my pitch. Those are the values. We have a lot more work to do as elders to think, I think, how to get the wheels on the ground with an idea like these values. What does it, I mean, the God stories is a good example of what it looks like to apply them, but we like to think that there are lots of other ways as well, and that potentially there are lots of great ideas here. I'm kind of looking around, I have to admit as well, I think there's one final story, and I'm sorry for taking this extra time, but a chap I know, slightly older than me, I got to know over several years, and I remember him on quite a regular basis sharing this burden on his heart. He said, I come home from work and I'm tired, and after dinner I just sit down and I get my phone out and I log into Facebook and I just get lost scrolling through, adding stuff in, liking this, commenting on that. He says, and I realize I probably should be spending time with my kids. I probably should be talking to my wife about what her day's been like. I probably should be. Like, here's a guy who knew that he was running off the cliff because everyone else was doing it, but didn't seem to be able to stop. And a few years later, I hear that his marriage is dissolved. Now, that's no surprise. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible shame, but it's no surprise because he knew what he was doing. He knew it wasn't helping, and he didn't seem to be able to stop. What habits do we have that erode our connection to God and one another? And I want to keep those two very closely aligned. That erode our connection to God and one another, that are in fact just running off the cliff because everyone else is doing it. All right. Let me pray and then bless you, and we'll have tea and coffee together, because as I say every week, that is part of our fellowship. It is part of our worship. Lord, we first of all just thank you for your incredible love for us. A love that was expressed in words, expressed in actions, in healing, and expressed in your willingness to give yourself to us as a sacrifice on a cross, that we might know forever that you have paid an ultimate and eternal price, that we might be known as your family, as your children, and that we might live in the freedom of that. And Lord, we also know we need your Spirit among us to build and bind us together into a community, a people and a place committed to one another in your name. Lord, I know how I have failed to uphold that standard and those values, how I have let people down. I have not been intentional enough. I have not been community to them. I have not drawn them in when I should have. I have taken the easy path. Lord, I ask that you would forgive this sinner. Lord, I ask that you would heal the wounded hearts, those who have been disappointed by community in the past, those who are tempted but afraid. Lord, we need your courage, we need your compassion. We need your power. Amen. Mai ho koe manaki, mana koe tiaki. Mai ho e mea ki a ti aho tona mata ki a koe, mana hoki koe e atawhai. Mai ho a tona ka nohi whakara ki a koe, mana ano a tuku taranga marie ki a koe. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and bring you peace. Amen. Thank you for coming. Wouldn't have been the same without you.